What's going on, Bourne family? I hope you are all fantastically well, and wherever you are, you're having an awesome day. I just wanted to start off this podcast by extending my gratitude to you all for clicking on it and spending some time with me. It really does mean the absolute world to me. With that said, I did want to just let you know that we recorded this episode with Ash in a coffee shop. Now, there is a little bit of background noise, but nothing that will block out the sound. You can still hear us both perfectly, and the podcast is still a fantastic one. So, with that said, guys, this is a sponsored podcast. It is sponsored by All Out Athletics, the company that Ash does own. Now, if you do enjoy this podcast, please be sure to leave us a review. It would be amazing if you did. We are getting some great reviews, some great feedback, and we can continue to push forwards and keep creating better content and get even more and more guests to deliver that content to you guys, which is exactly what we want to do. Now, I hope you guys enjoy this. Thank you for listening. I will catch you next time. What's going on, Bourne family? I hope you are all well. I am absolutely thrilled to have this guest on the podcast today. It's a friend of mine, someone I've been talking to for quite a while now. This is Mr. Ash Norman from All Out Athletics. It's a UK-based company. They make a whole ton of strength training stuff. So, Ash, welcome to Bourne to Talk, episode number 3.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, sir. And yourself?
Yeah, very well, thank you. So let's dig straight into this podcast. Ash, do you want to tell us a bit about yourself, a bit about AOA? Anything else you want to say before we get started so people get to know who you are?
I'm 25 years old. Body's completely broken at the minute. I run a company called Out Athletics, which actually started from a conversation over a beer. In February of this year, well, actually it was more December last year, we started to talk about manufacturing our own barbells because we originally were just a blog. And then we went from there, to be honest with you. We now work with the strongest athletes in the country. The likes of Laurent Charlet, Aaron Page, Terry Hollands and co. And yeah, that's pretty much me, to be honest with you.
That's crazy. Like, it's so awesome seeing the team for All Out Athletics. Like, I love watching them because the thing I love about it is you haven't got egos, really. You've got these people that all seem to be really good people and the best at what they do, and I love that. So why is it, do you, like, what are you looking for when you're choosing your athletes? Because obviously I think a lot of them, like I said, are all very, they seem like really nice people, quite humble people. So what is it you're looking for exactly?
Don't be an idiot. to be perfectly honest with you, like, I've had a lot of people contact me asking about being on the team, being sponsored. Yeah. That's fantastic. I'm grateful for everyone.
Yeah.
But you have to be a nice person. You have to be a true ambassador of the brand.
Yeah.
It's like, Aaron is a fantastic friend of mine. Nicest guy you'll ever meet. And yeah, he just happens to be a freak of nature and strength. but I won't take on anyone that, you know, if you're a twat to people,
yeah,
then it looks bad on me.
Yeah, of course.
So I don't want you on the team. So yeah.
Okay, so in your own words, you were saying about obviously you representing the brand. What is it? What is All Out Athletics? Not just like where did the name come from, but what is the brand? What does it mean to you?
This is a difficult question. So when AOA first of all started, this was probably just over a year ago, close to 2 years. Actually, so, Jesus, it was a concept for ages. I was depressed. I was really struggling. One of my closest friends died, unfortunately. And I wasn't training. I wasn't doing anything. I was working a job that I hated. And so I was sitting at a computer desk, and I think I was like 6 or 7 beers deep this evening. And I was talking to my best friend about stuff, and I said to him, do you know what? I fucking hate the fitness scene. The fitness scene's terrible. All these articles are coming out, basically just screaming bullshit the whole time.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I needed something I needed to focus on because I was going deeper and deeper into this darkness, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's where it come from. And like, we spoke about it. He set up this website, covered all the costs for me, which was fantastic. And I cannot thank Sean enough for that, obviously. And with that, like, we just developed. We got a team of 6 or 7 athletes who done blog posts every single week, which I'm really grateful of as well. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know, it's kind of like it's a symbol of hope for me,
yeah,
personally.
Okay.
It allows me to focus on the future. It allows me to actually have a bit of purpose in life as well.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much it, to be honest. Like, AOA is a brand, we're a family. Anyone who buys a t-shirt, I will email, I will contact to say thank you. And, you know, I want it to be more than just money orientated, because there's just too many companies like that.
That's what fitness is now, unfortunately, isn't it? It's very money orientated.
Like, as we discussed earlier, I went to Body Power last year. Thank you to Terry and Martin for allowing us to do that. But it was just, you look at it and it's like, it's the epitome of everything I hate in the fitness scene in one building.
Yeah.
People are just so focused on aesthetics and being this look rather than the health.
Yeah, well, it's not health and fitness anymore, is it? It is literally just looking good, which is a shame. Yeah, it is a shame, because then I think it makes things unhealthy for people as well.
Exactly that. And like, linking back to your previous question, everyone has egos. Yeah. They might have done nothing in their life, yet because they, you know, they lifted this weight, they think they are the epitome of everything. And it just doesn't head in. It really, really does. And that's why, you know, AOA will always support everyone.
Yeah.
I had a lad who, I think he's 14 or 15, he messaged the page and he was thanking me so much for it all because he was reading the articles and reading how we do things. But in his gym that he goes to, he must have been older than 15, but like, he was getting insulted by these 18, 19 year olds because they've been doing it for longer.
Yeah.
Even though they look like a steaming pile of shit. But, you know, it's one of those things that it's really depressing seeing it.
It really upsets me to see the state that, like, the fitness industry is getting to, because it's almost, it's becoming one of those things where, like we said, you have to look good to be relevant at the moment. Like, if you can have all this knowledge in the world, but if you don't look good, people won't listen to you, and that's such a shame, unless it's in like a niche. So with powerlifters, like, you look for powerlifters, but in terms of general health and fitness for the general population, the first people you see are the ones with the abs, the ones with like shredded everything, and it's not realistic for people. Like, magazine covers aren't realistic, not even they look like that. Like, it's so unhealthy, and it's just a bit of a mess, and it's such a shame to see. But like you just said, like, it upsets me because people turn to this as their way of escaping, and then straight away they're thrown into this world that they really don't want to be in.
It's the prime example as well of when people are like, oh, so-and-so, I won't name names, so-and-so like got there naturally, and like someone who's just got into training, they're like, I can achieve that.
Yeah.
You know, and don't get me wrong, anyone can achieve anything you want. I'm not saying you can't, but it produces a reality that just isn't there, it doesn't exist. And honestly, the whole Adobe Gains thing as well.
There's a lot of people that have been doing it, and it is sad, isn't it? Because you're not seeing that person, and that's one of the things that we do at Born, is obviously we try to be as honest as possible. I document everything with everything. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie to people, because I don't feel the need to lie to people. Because if you lie to someone, what are they going to learn?
Exactly.
And they're going to learn fuck all, and I love that. So I'm curious here. So, and you kind of touched on it a little bit there, but with all out athletics, obviously the name's going to kind of speak for itself, but what is that all out attitude to you? Because obviously there's certain people that think they're going all out, and then there's another level which someone else is doing. So for you, describe that all out attitude.
That's a very difficult question. Well, funnily enough, the name, I didn't actually come up with the name.
Okay.
My very close friend of mine called Chris Speed came up with the name. He randomly said, what about this name? And I thought, okay, fantastic, we'll use that. I think all out is just putting everything you possibly can into a passion. Not enough people do that. I mean, I work in a school, and I see the education system for what it is, and that's not me insulting the education system, but passions and obsessions, because things are obsessions. AOA is an absolute obsession for me. And I've studied the whole psychological aspect of obsession.
Yep.
And a lot of the time people put it as negative. So all that for me is really, I'll put hours and hours into it.
Yeah.
Like we spoke about earlier, I went to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning this morning, and I was up at 4 o'clock just so that I could get work done.
I think it's different, isn't it? Like, you get some people that will think, like I said, that will think they're doing this all-out thing because they go to work 9 to 5 or 8 to 6 or whatever it is. But I think with a passion, there's just something different. Is you just want to give it everything, absolutely everything, no matter what it does to you. Like, it'll tire you out, it'll bring you down. There will be really hard times, but if you love it, you just continue to do it all the time. And I think it's funny because you see people do it in the gym, but then when it comes to other things in their life, they might not necessarily do it. Like, Kate can attest to this, is with Born, I will sometimes be up till like 2 or 3 in the morning just editing a video or writing a blog post or doing stuff, but it takes it out of me. Like, it's not easy. It destroys me some days. And it takes, I'm very thankful to have Kate there because she keeps me on track and she keeps me grounded, but I find it very difficult sometimes to stop working. Like, with Born, I find it very difficult to stop. And I think, I know eventually it will pay off, but at the same, I guess sometimes it can be unhealthy, but hopefully in the future I'd love to sit down with you and have a podcast about obsession, because I think that would be freaking awesome. Yeah. I'd love to do that. So do you feel like this is something that everybody is capable of. Like, people, obviously it's a work ethic and you have to, it's almost like training yourself to do that, but do you feel like everyone has got that in them to achieve whatever it is that they want?
Of course I do. Yeah, yeah? That's definitely something that I think dreams aren't promoted enough.
No.
Everyone has dreams. Literally everyone has a dream. If you want to be, I don't know, a panda dentist or something insane like that, every single person has a dream.
Yeah?
Yeah. They forget about it because, you know, they're put into a system where they have to do that.
Yeah.
They have to go to university. They have to.
Yeah,
go.
Yeah.
The whole mortgage, the whole family, that whole fucking industry.
Yeah.
It's an industry, you know, and for me, it's not about that. You know, like, I didn't go to university. I've had no interest in going into university. Since I was about 14, 15, I've run my own business. I run a clothing line that I then sold on because I got bored of it. I then, what else have I done? Done some other random thing that I can't remember right now, which wasn't that good, but you know, I think dreams need to be followed.
Absolutely.
And it's not cliche saying that because everyone says, oh, you know, you only live once and all that bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
No, just fucking do it for your insanity.
Yeah.
Like, people work jobs they hate to pay bills to do this, and don't get me wrong, everyone needs to pay bills.
But people just kind of chug along in life, don't they? They just exist, and that's not what, you don't just want to exist. Like, don't get me wrong, I enjoy my job, I do, and I enjoy the people that surround me, but it's not what I want to do. That's not what I want in like 10 years time. I want to be able to wake up and be like, do you know what, I fucking helped someone today. That would be the best feeling. But one of the things we do talk about on the channel is obviously following your dreams and doing what you want to do, but I think it's difficult for people to take that first step sometimes because of the fear.
Yeah.
And that's the worst part, is that fear, isn't it? So people are scared to take the first step because it might not work. And that people hate that. And it's scary, yes, but you don't get anywhere unless you take that step. So you have to take it.
You know, you look at these millionaires, entrepreneurs and stuff like that. If you look at their past, see how many businesses they've come from.
Yeah.
See how many times they've been bankrupt. You know, everyone makes mistakes and everyone has failures.
Yeah.
Luckily, my family are absolutely incredible. They support me with whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, if your son come up to you and said, Dad, I want to build a barber. Most dads would go, whereas mine was just like, okay, well, how are we going to do that? And you know, without them, I wouldn't be about.
Well, that's exactly it, isn't it? You have to have that support system.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think surround yourself by like-minded people.
Exactly. One of the things that I think, though, is like, you see all these big names in just in whatever the discipline is, you see these big names and you're like, oh yeah, they did that on their own. No, bollocks. Like, no one ever does anything on their own. I don't care what they say. It is not possible to get to the absolute pinnacle of an industry, whatever it might be, on your own. You can't do that. But you have to have a team, whether it's just a wife, whether it's a best friend, whether it's an entire squad of people that are helping you, you can't do it on your own.
Exactly.
Because mentally it's too much.
And a lot of the time people forget about the roots. You know, they gain a bit of success and then suddenly, oh, the team that supported me in the first place, they forget about.
Yeah.
And like, to the guys that supported AOA at the beginning, I'm always grateful, I'm always talking to them.
Yeah.
Obviously I can't give them as much as I want to be able to give them.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've always got to be grateful. But you've always, as I said before, have people around you that push you for more.
Yeah.
My other half, like, luckily, she'll tell me to man fuck up and get on with it. Like, she'll push me to my absolute limit. So, because she knows I can do it.
Yeah.
What's the point in being mediocre, so to speak? I know that sounds kind of bad, but, like, when you could be better than you are right now, why not push?
Of course. I know, I completely understand what it is you're saying, because you don't... If you have the opportunity to progress forwards, you have that opportunity to develop and just get better every single day, why would you not take it? That's one of the things that we like to push at Bourne, is literally, it's just personal development. Whether you take, like, say you go for a walk and you walk for a minute longer, I don't give a fuck what the development is every single day, as long as you are progressing. And that's, I feel like, if you're not trying to progress in life, what, it sounds really bad, but what is the purpose of being here? Like, unless you're going to try and get better and make the world a better place. Because at the end of the day, we're here for a limited amount of time, yes. But you can really make a difference. Like, anyone can make a difference. And it doesn't have to be like, I saved this person's life. It's like, you could make, like you are, you could make a sport better. You could make someone's life better because of the blog post, like you were saying. You can help improve their life. And then that change just keeps going then. So that lad that you were saying, that 15-year-old, he will go and tell someone else something he read on your site. And then they'll go and tell someone else. And they'll go and tell someone else. It just keeps growing. And that... it's addictive. Like, I find that really addictive, is when someone leaves a comment on the videos and it's like, ah, you've really helped. I'm like, what the fuck? Like,
what? And it's addictive, because you just want to continue to help people in whatever way you know how to do.
That's the most important thing. It's funny, I went to a commercial gym the other day, and I hate commercial gyms, and I never liked them. It's just, for me, it's an atmosphere that I don't particularly like,
yeah.
As I said. But, I had two lads come over to me, and it was quite nice, actually. I was wearing AOA gear. And they walked over and they said, "Oh, you're Ash from AOA?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they were like, "Oh, nice to meet you." They shook my hand. We had a 5-minute conversation. They were just asking, "Are you ever going to open up a gym?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's next on the list." And they were just like, "That would be the best facility because we know we'd be supported."
Yeah.
You look in these commercial gyms and look in other gyms, everyone has a fucking ego. We spoke about this earlier, but everyone has an ego and there's no support whatsoever.
No.
And it's... Yeah, it annoys me.
I completely understand it because I almost feel like, again, this sounds like we're just ranting about the fitness industry, but I feel like there's so many flaws that don't take a lot to correct.
No.
But it's one of those situations where, that person's got abs, so he's automatically better than everyone else in the room. And that's not the way it is. Instead of being selfish with it, you should be one of those people that's trying to improve fitness. Share that knowledge, help other people to get abs or to get stronger or whatever it is, just help them. And that's what I'd love, you saying about obviously the AOA gym, when you do decide to do it and when you are doing it, is it will be a supportive environment. And the people on the channel know that I want my own gym one day and it will be a supportive environment. If there's anyone in there that I ever found was not being supportive, they'd be gone, because that's not the type of group of people I want. I want people to be able to go somewhere, both with the charity in the future, to go somewhere and just not care. Not care about what's going on in their life. They don't care about their stresses or their anxieties. They can just go, they can learn, and they can leave and get better. And I feel like that would be the same with the AOA gym. It's people can go in, get stronger, be supported, and have a great environment that they can look forward to going to every day.
It's most important. It's even down to every so often I do business lessons that I'm personally learning, and I write posts about it because I think, I'm not an expert, I never claim to be, but I'm learning as I go on. One of the things that I made a massive cock up probably about a month ago, where I went into a situation where I didn't have a plan B and I put all my eggs into one basket, and unfortunately it completely flopped. I lost a lot of money, but it happened. But then I realised, shit, next time I've got to have plan B, I've got to have a plan C. And I wanted to write that so I could actually tell people, if you're going to do this, do it this way, so that they don't make the mistake I've made.
No.
And it's like training as well. You look at Louis Simmons, prime example. He's been in powerlifting for 40 plus years. He's done everything. Now, a lot of people don't agree with the West Side method.
No.
You cannot fault his knowledge.
No,
he's made
absolutely not.
He's made his mistakes.
Yeah.
He's broken his body, yet now he's teaching the up and coming.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where a lot of people forget to actually share the knowledge and actually
That's
help.
That's the thing, isn't it? There's so much knowledge in the world. One of my things that I will always say to someone is you can learn something from everyone.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is, but on a daily basis, I kind of like to learn, even if it's not relevant to me or to my life or something. I just like to learn something new every day, no matter what it is. It could be a random fact that I'll probably forget tomorrow, but I just love that, with your posts you were saying about the business posts and stuff, I love that because you are a brand that is based around strength sports and barbells and that kind of thing, but you share other things. You aren't scared to show that you are an up-and-coming business, you aren't perfect, and I love that. I think that's fantastic because you see so many brands that everything has to be so perfect, and if there's a mistake they will never admit it, but you've just said about your mistake, and that's, I really admire that, because it takes a lot of balls to do that, especially obviously in business. And I love when people are honest. It's fine, carry on. I just love when people are exceptionally honest, and I feel like there's nothing better than that, is when people are actually just being honest with themselves, for one, and other people.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a really good friend of mine, who's helped me a hell of a lot, and he's now a business partner of mine, Tom Hibbert, who runs Winning Health Solutions. He is one person where if I've got a problem, last week I think it was, myself and Chanel went down there to talk to him about a problem I've got at the moment going on. And we sat down, we spoke about it, and he literally just turned around to me and said, "You already know what you're going to do." And he just explained every single step. And people like him supporting others, you think, without you saying that to me, I'll be right in the same predicament as I was beforehand. And it's kind of linking back to what we've already said, but it's an interesting topic because people do I mean, you have to be selfish in life. You have to look after yourself.
Yeah.
But if everyone is selfish, how is anyone going to be happy? How is anyone going
to
progress?
That's the thing, isn't it? Is there a certain level of selfish? Like Kate keeps saying to me that I have to look after me before I can look after everyone else. And I appreciate that and I completely understand that. But that's a different kind of selfish to just having a bunch of knowledge and not sharing it. Because what's the point in having all that knowledge? Because you're just going to die with it.
Yeah.
And nothing gets better then.
Yeah.
But I guess there's some people that just don't want to see things get better.
It's like sponsorships.
Yeah.
If I could financially, I'd be sponsoring a hell of a lot more people than I am. And like, I've had some really close friends of mine say, oh, you know, would you like to sponsor me? I'll do this and this. And I'd love to say, yeah, I'd love to. But I can't. And that's where, you know, it's very difficult. And we briefly spoke about it earlier, is detaching yourself from the passion.
Yeah.
And not allowing it to actually get you down. Because, you know, we spoke about, you know, with every 100 good reviews, we always get one dickhead that he's never even probably tried our product.
No.
Yeah, he just wants to slate it because he just wants to. He's just sitting behind his computer and he's just a worthless wanker, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
And sorry about swearing, but, you know, it's, you have to detach yourself, but you also have to remember, you have to support everyone. You have to be happy. People forget to be happy. I mean, I do. I have times
when
I'm sitting in my room and I'm just like, fuck, I've got all this paperwork to do. I'm knackered. I've been up since 4.
Yeah.
And I just get so down.
Yeah, I completely understand that.
Then you look back, like, okay, well, I've done that this year. I've done that this year. You have to remember the positives.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Like, I was actually having this chat with Kate the other day because for the past few weeks I've been extremely tired, like, exhausted. But that always brings my depression back in a bit.
Yeah.
It kind of knocks me for 6. But having a chat with Kate, she was like, well, you did all these things that you would never have done in February before you started this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you're right. Because there's so many things that I would never have done. Never! But I've done them. And that's amazing. But again, it's just down to personal growth, isn't it? You take it one day at a time. You progress, and things just start to get better.
Yeah.
You have to take it that way.
So it's like a pyramid, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, say hypothetically speaking, you're at the top of the pyramid. You've had a good day on Tuesday. Then you've got a friend of yours that said, "Oh, I'm having a really bad day on that Monday." And you're like, "Okay, you know, I'll help you." So that progresses that tree.
Yeah.
And then there'll be another person.
Exactly.
It becomes a support network in which you need enough. Because life is shit, let's be fair. You know, we have all the bills to pay, we have all these responsibilities that nobody particularly wants, but if we all look after each other, it becomes so much easier.
Yeah, of course it does. And I think, like you said, yes, life can be really difficult when we have these, yeah, we all have bills we don't want to pay,
yeah.
We all have things we don't want to do, we have jobs we don't want to go to, whatever it might be, but if you can take that time, even in the evenings, whatever it is, and just do something you enjoy, why not do it? Like, I know it sounds stupid, but the only question I feel like if someone's like, oh, well, I can't do this, and I'm like, well, why not? But why can't you do it? What is holding you back? Like, is it funds holding you back? There's things you can do. I think there's something you can do about everything, and you can make it work no matter what.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I know it's difficult for people to take that first step, but that's one of the things I actually wanted to ask you about with AOA was why. Like, what was it like at the start? Obviously, I'm trying to get ball going. I want it as a charity as opposed to a business, but I guess the concepts are still going to be the same. So what was it like starting AOA? Was it really... Obviously, it's going to be difficult, but can you, like, give us a kind of a background into the starting of it?
How can I say this? I refused to share anything.
Okay.
I was too scared to.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried about what other people were thinking. And Sean literally said to me, you've got to do it. He said, if you want this to succeed, you've got to do it. And it took me probably about a month for me to actually share an article.
Really?
Because I was really worried that people were going to judge. They were going to... And obviously, I did have people slating the whole thing. But then I realised the support network is there. I think it is... It's very difficult. Again, it links back to people having people around you that you know will push you.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to do things that are completely out of your comfort zone. And do it on your own.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll do it tomorrow.
I think that's one of the big things in life for everyone, isn't it? Oh, tomorrow, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and you never do it.
That's the thing, like, my dad runs his own business as well. And like, one of the first things he said to me is, there's no tomorrow.
No.
We're alive right now, we might not be tomorrow.
It's not promised, is it?
So we need to... it's difficult. Like, everyone has an anxiety to a degree.
Yeah.
Obviously, some people have it a lot worse than others.
Yeah.
And I think you've just kind of got to grab it by the balls and just do it.
Yeah.
And ignore people.
Yeah.
The positive, I thank. The negative, I thank.
I understand what you're saying.
I shared a quote on my Facebook the other day. I can't what it said now. I think it was they will hate on you religiously, but they will always say bad stuff about you, but they'll check your page religiously.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where, well, okay, you don't like my product. Thanks, thanks for trying it.
Yeah.
You can't please everyone, and that's one thing people have got to remember, because there's always going to be people out there that don't like you.
Oh, of course there is.
As I said earlier, the people that I've had before never try one of our bars, and yet say to others they're the worst bars ever made. And the one thing that really pisses me off is when someone who isn't an engineer insults the engineering of a product.
Yeah.
How would you know the engineering skills?
Everyone's like an internet know-it-all, though, aren't they? Like, people can go on Google and be like, oh, this will make a good whatever it is. Mm. And it might not necessarily do it. Like, if you aren't in that, then you don't necessarily have the right to be judging the actual, like, fundamentals of it. So, with the bar, if you don't know how to go and make a bar by yourself, shut up. Yeah. Like, you can't say that.
You know, it's one of the things, if you don't like our product, cool. Oh, no worries. You know, thank you. And I said that before. It's like clothing. Some people don't like our clothing. Okay. I'm doing it for me. I'm not doing it for you.
No.
You know. Obviously, I want to run AOA full time, so I need those sales.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to change me to suit you.
It's integrity as well, though, isn't it? That's one of the things I find, is that people will automatically do. This is one of the things I see a lot on YouTube, and I refuse to do it. Is you see people that are like, "What do you guys? Like, what do you think?" And obviously your viewers are the people that support you, and that's absolutely fantastic. But then I also feel like people are losing their integrity quite a lot. So instead of putting out the content that people have come for already, they are sacrificing what they love to then be something that everyone else wants them to be. And I don't like that. I don't ever want to be someone that everyone else wants me to be. I've always been like that my entire life. Like, even when I was a kid, I was like that. I never wanted to be the same as everyone else. I was never interested in the same thing as everyone else, because I just wasn't. But then when I was a kid, I felt weird, I felt different, I felt out of place. But now, I love that. Like, I love the fact that I'm a bit fruity, I'm a bit weird, and I'm glad that it was like that for me. Like, I'm glad, because you're always going to have those people that are going to talk shit. You're going to have people that are going to say, oh, you should be like this. Well, no, you shouldn't be like anything. You should be like you, and you should be happy being you. Like, nobody should be scared, to be who they want to be. But society is kind of pushing people that way, and it's a shame, because you see a lot of society where people are pushing people to be exactly who they want to be. That's great. But then you get the majority, like, you watch the news at night, and you see all these things, and everything is so negative in the world. Everything. That it can be difficult to go forward and do what you want to do, because there's just so much negativity surrounding it.
Exactly. Yeah, I think one of the new t-shirts that I'm actually producing at the moment, the saying has on it, I fear being average.
I love that.
And it's not because I'm insulting people that are happy to do the things we're discussing about. It's just me personally, I couldn't think of much worse. Like, I go to work, I work a full-time job, I sometimes enjoy my job. But is that what I want to do? No. Because I don't want to be stuck in one spot. I hate the idea of being bossed.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's difficult, though. You know,
of course it is.
So many people are caught up in the trap. They're caught up in the rat race.
Yes.
And as we briefly spoke about before, people don't want to take the leap.
No.
And I can understand, you know, if you've got a family, you've got these bills to pay, but what is stopping you working from 8 to 11 at night on your dream? If you're working a full-time job and you've got your family, and I'm very, very happy for you that you're happy, etc. If you've got an idea of something you want to do, when they're asleep, why don't you do it? Instead of watching that TV, instead of playing your PlayStation or whatever, maybe work on pursuing something else.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, what the fuck have you lost?
Even just an hour a day to start with. Yeah. It's just something, isn't it? And it's funny you mention that, because in a video that's coming out a couple after this, I start the video by saying that I don't want this idea to die with me. But I'm determined, and I know for a fact, like, I'm not even questioning it, that Born will live on after me, and the message will continue to grow, and people will continue to raise awareness of mental health. But that's exactly what you just said, is like, if you have an idea, push it. You have to push it. because if you're not pushing it, you're doing yourself a disservice, but you're doing the rest of the world a disservice, because you could add something of value. And that's amazing, because there's not enough things that are providing value, like real value to people. And I love that attitude with people, but don't get me wrong, like Ash has just said, we're not slating people that have a 9-to-5, because we both work 9-to-5s. Like, we both have those jobs, and we're not slating people that are happy doing that everyday lifestyle that most people have. We're saying that if you have a dream, you have an idea, then you take it, then you grab it as hard as you can, and you go forward with it, and you don't let go. If it doesn't work...
be obsessed.
Exactly. You have to, yeah, exactly like Ash just said, you have to be obsessed with it. And some people, well, what's that quote? It's like, obsessed is a word the lazy use to describe the dedicated or something. I can't remember the exact thing, but just because you're obsessed with something like Ash, it doesn't have to be negative. In fact, I think most of the things that I'm obsessed with in my life are all positive. It's just about growth. And yeah, sometimes it gets me down, it makes me tired, but perks of having a mental illness, I guess, that comes with it. Like, it doesn't help, no. But I refuse to let this die. Like, I will not. I will work my tail off, as I know Ash will work his tail off, to make something work. And that's just, it's just different. It's a different kind of mindset for people.
Now, not everyone's got it.
No.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I know a lot of people that have ideas and they've started doing it, but then they think, oh, do you know what? I'm going to have that extra hour in bed.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
Absolutely fine. Yeah.
I'm more talking to the... It's not even a small percentage, though.
No.
Because it's surprising how many people are actually pursuing it. And the more I get into the whole business side of things, the more I'm realising, actually, a lot of people are entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
I have one of the students at school. It's funny, actually. He got caught. He was selling sweets. Right? And they were selling Malwan. He bought a packet of Malwan from Lidl for £1, and there was a packet of like 50. He put a 400% markup.
What a hero.
Per Malwan.
Wow.
He was earning £4 a Malwan. And I was literally just, I was sitting there, he got caught, unfortunately. I genuinely mean unfortunately. And I walked over and I congratulated him.
That's amazing.
I was like, that is incredible. And he was selling out. He was selling out, and I was just
that's
like,
"That's crazy, isn't it?"
And you know, you think maybe I should give him some so I can earn some percentage. Of
yeah, that spirit, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love seeing that. I know, like, some people might see it as wrong, but like you've just said, like, unfortunately, he got caught and he got in trouble. It's amazing to see people with that spirit, especially at such a young age, because you know that kid's going to go on and do amazing things, and yeah. Everyone, like you said earlier, has that capability to do amazing things. It is just taking that leap. And I love the fact that he's taken that leap so early on.
It's so funny. Because I spoke to him about it. I was like, well, why were you selling it? He's like, oh, because I just wanted to buy those. I think it's Jordans.
Yeah.
He just wanted to buy Jordans. That's all he wanted to do.
And he's hustling.
Yeah. And like, you know, was it Richard Branson? I think he started from selling sweets.
Really?
I think it was him.
Yeah.
But a lot of entrepreneurs have. I mean, I didn't, unfortunately. I sold t-shirts.
Yeah.
So, but it's a very interesting concept. I've looked into, like, I love to study. I love reading. And I read as much as I possibly can. And I think that's one bit of advice every single successful entrepreneur gives is, I'm not saying I'm successful, I'm saying that, obviously. But, you know, is read. Read every day. Doesn't matter if it's a chapter or a paragraph, just read. Because knowledge is power.
Absolutely. Actually, something you've just said has just kind of clicked in my head. I'd quite like to touch back on the thing you said about success, because what I do is I write down all these notes in my phone, and it's all blog posts, it's like things from my Instagram, because I can't just write one word. I have to write like a whole paragraph. It's just the way I am. But there's a thing in my... I can't be able to find it now. But it's about success and the definition of success. So success being... I think a lot of people see success as earning a lot of money, as having all the things that you would like to have in your life, as kind of being... For me, personally, success is not those things. Success is doing exactly what you want to do, whether you fail, whether you achieve it. But it's about, like... Bear with me, sorry.
No.
The definition of success, so is the accomplishment of an aim or purpose. So... if you accomplish anything on a daily basis, no matter what it is, for me, that's still success. You don't have to earn millions. You don't have to be like Steve Jobs, like that kind of rich. That's for me, that's not success. It's amazing and I admire it, but it's not success. Success is somebody... I watched a video on Facebook of a woman trying to do a box jump and she couldn't do it. But by the end of like this 5-minute video, she managed it. And for me, that's success, is achieving something you never thought you could do. Every single day, that is success. And for me, that's a successful person.
Yeah, I mean, funny enough, when I started squatting properly, I was working towards that 2-plate squat, yeah, you know, the dreaded 100 kilo. And I was stuck at 97.5 kilo for, I think, 7-8 weeks.
Really?
I could do sets of 5, but as soon as 2 plates went on it, mental block, couldn't do it. And what happened was, a good friend of mine tricked me. And what he done was, he loaded 100 kilo up with small plates. And actually, no, I lied, he loaded 110. He loaded 110 with small plates, and he said, fucking get on with it. And so I walked over to it, and I smashed it for a double. And that sort of thing, I went to bed with a massive smile on my face the other day. Now, I completely agree with you, that is success. Yeah. You've reached a positive, you've reached a goal that you wanted to hit. And I do think there's too much focus on monetary gains.
Oh yeah.
Rather than actually focusing on small goals, like, fuck, for some people, it's just waking up the next day.
Yeah.
If you wake up that next day, then shit, well done. Something. You know, yeah, you're on a positive note for the day.
Yeah.
And whereas, don't get me wrong, some people are like, well, I want to earn £1 million by the time I'm 30. Then if you want to do that, you know. Yeah. It's, yeah. Success is a difficult topic.
And I admire the people that are like, I want to earn this much money by this point, because that it's going to take a lot of work, and I know they're willing to do it. But for me, at the same time, it's a lot of pressure that I feel like society is putting on people to. So like, you look at people's Instagrams, for example. Social media is horrible for this, and this is one of the things I don't like about it, is you see someone, like, they'll put a photo of a car that isn't theirs, or they'll put a photo of some money or whatever it is, and it's not realistic because that isn't their life. Or it might be their life, but it's not realistic for someone to necessarily go out and achieve that. So we kind of put pressure on ourselves to become something that we aren't. Touching back on what we said earlier, we are always, a lot of people are still trying to be something that they aren't, and something that they don't want to be. And that's messed up. That's so fucked up. I hate it.
It's quite funny because my girlfriend works for BMW.
Okay.
And she works for the, what does she do? Shit. Complaints. She works for the complaints section. And like, the amount of people that she said to me, like, these well-known people who have cars and finance and are struggling to pay their finance. You know, people are too obsessed with materialism. Shit, I'm wearing trainers that I've had for 2 years now.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, and like, I have kids at work. They're just like, oh, so you still got those trainers? So I'm like, yeah, because there's no point in me buying any new ones.
No.
And, you know, as you said, social media is evil. Like, you'll see these people with these brand new cars, these brand new watches and all stuff like that. And then kids feel that, shit, if I don't have that, I'm not successful.
No, exactly.
And it's scary.
It is. Do you know, I remember being at school and being mocked for the clothes I was wearing, because my family and I were made homeless at one point when I was younger, and it was, well, we didn't have any money, so I was wearing like hand-me-downs, or I was wearing things that were, I never looked untidy, but it was just, it wasn't branded clothes, and I've never cared for branded clothes. Like, don't get me wrong, I have some, yes, but I've never cared for it. I don't go out and be like, oh my god, I need that new Nike t-shirt. I just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
But you get people that is their life, because they're trying to be something that society wants them to be.
Yeah.
And I think, like you've just said with your trainers, like, it doesn't matter that you've had the same pair of shoes for God knows how long. Like, exactly, they're comfortable. Does it make you any different from anybody else? No, it doesn't. And it really does upset me. It's something I feel really strongly about. And social media is absolutely incredible. It is incredible for what it can achieve, but then it also has a bad side to it, like everything does. And it's sad to see for me. It really is.
It always makes me laugh with these YouTubers when they're like, oh, I bought a new car. And then they do like a 15-20 minute video about this bollocks car that they bought. And they're like, oh, look at this. You know, this is a brand new Nissan Skyline, whatever it is. And I'm just like, okay.
Cool.
Are you doing anything for your family? Yes. And I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, you're just a selfish prick.
Yeah.
And now, don't get me wrong, I don't know these people, but from the outset, what they're portraying is them being quite self-righteous.
Yeah.
They're only thinking about themselves.
Exactly.
Whereas I admire, like, Christian, what's his face? Now, admittedly, I don't like his brand.
No.
He's doing fantastically well, obviously.
Yeah, he's achieved a lot, yeah.
But the stuff he does for his family, like, I've watched some of his videos, and I saw the one where he bought his dad a car.
Yeah.
And I watched that, and it put a massive smile on my face.
Yeah.
And actually, funny enough, yesterday we were doing tag rugby at school, and I can't name names, but basically there's a child in the class that doesn't speak much English. He's recently come over to the country, didn't know what was going on, and I finally taught him to run forward in rugby because he couldn't understand that. And he ran forward, and there was another member of another pupil on the other team, and this kid deliberately fell over so this kid could score.
Amazing.
And I run over to this kid who fell over, and I shook his hand and I said I was proud of him, because you know that trait, people giving back to others, fuck, it's gone.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. I feel like people don't want to do it anymore. Like you said earlier, everything's about money. Mm. Like, why the fuck does everything have to be about money all the time? I hate it. I hate money in general. I'm not good. Like, money stresses me out. Whether I've got it or not, it stresses me out, and I hate it because, like you've just said, that lad has made that lad's death. Like, because he scored. He might not never know that kid did it on purpose, but he's happy. And you can't put a price on making someone smile. You can't put a price on making someone happy. Like, I know I keep saying it, and that's exactly what I want to achieve with Born. I couldn't care less how much money I earn from it, because I want to help people. And I feel like there's so many people in the world that don't want to. Like, there's so many people that don't want to help people, and it pisses me off, if I'm honest.
You know, one of the prime examples is when you open up a door for someone and they don't say thank you.
If for anyone that is listening on iTunes, like, you can, Kate's laughing in the background because I'm terrible with this. Like, if someone doesn't say thank you, I'll automatically, when they walk out, I'm like, you're welcome.
Yeah,
I can't stop myself. It happens.
Whenever at work, if I open up a door for a pupil and a pupil doesn't say thank you, I pull them back and I waste 10 minutes of their time. Deliberately. I do not care if I'm missing my break, because manners go a very long way.
Yeah, they do.
And right, like, if you do something for someone, even if it's just getting out of the way, and they say thank you, you're like, okay, you know, they appreciate what I've just done for them.
Yeah.
Like, when my dad and I were driving back from the unit, we pulled over to the left so someone could come past. They didn't even thank us.
I can't do it. It makes me angry.
You feel like turning around the car, don't you?
Going and blocking them in somewhere. Yeah. Just follow them until they get home. You know what? I don't do it because I'm an angry person. I do it because manners literally cost fuck all. They cost nothing. Like, it costs nothing to put your hand up to someone and say thank you. Like,
gratitude.
Exactly. Gratitude. One of the things I will always do, and Kate can testify, is whenever we go shopping, I remember working in retail. Retail sucks.
Yeah,
like, there's some horrible people. So every time we go shopping, I will automatically ask how the person is. I will ask if they've had a good day. Yeah. I will talk to them. Hopefully get them to laugh, smile, anything. Because I remember working in retail and people treating you like crap all the time. Because apparently working for a big company, you are in charge of everything. And people...
That's so true.
But it is, isn't it? Like, in retail, that's what it's like. You're automatically the evil person, but it's not your fault. So people will kind of... They get so abusive. And that's why I will always talk to people and make sure they've had a nice day or whatever. So... it's a bit awkward when they reply that they haven't. I never know what to say, but it's just getting someone talking, because I remember not having that. So I will always try and do it.
Yeah, exactly. I always spoke about it when waiting in for the queue at Costa, is going back to, like, the negative review, and when someone says, I don't think that was a good idea.
Really?
And you look at it and you think, oh shit, is it your company?
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't realise that. But, like, don't get me wrong, every single piece of feedback I'm grateful for, every opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Lambo, have you ever heard of Aaron Lambo?
Yeah.
Aaron, I'll be honest, was the person that gave AOA a shot.
Really?
At the beginning of AOA, when we first produced our first Deadlift Bar, he allowed us to sponsor an event, his event, and that was the first person to give me a chance. And I don't speak to Aaron much anymore, and he's doing very well for himself, which is fantastic. But he allowed us to sponsor this event, which then meant I met Terry Hollins, I met Dave Beatty, and from there it expanded. So without that core route of Aaron giving us a chance, we wouldn't be here, you know. And I'm eternally grateful for every single person that has supported.
But that, I think that's testament to going back to what we said earlier about taking that first leap.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've had success with AOA. You've got all these people that use your products that are fucking massive names in the sports. And all it took was you having one shot. That's all it takes, is one shot. And if you can do it, great. If you can't, you get back up and you try it again.
Precisely. That's what a lot of people forget.
Yeah.
They forget that, you know, from the outlook, AOA has had constant success. We haven't. shit, we've had some really
no business ever
cards.
does it, but you don't see it.
We have been stabbed in the back so many times in this time, within the space from February to now. What, we November now?
Yeah.
We're November. From February this year to November, I've lost count. The amount of like opportunities we've had, and we've had knockdowns. But the saying in Batman, when he says to, what is Batman called? What's his character?
What's Batman? What's his actual name, Batman?
Bruce Wayne.
Jesus. When
thanks, Kate.
Alfred says to Bruce Wayne, like, why do we fall? So we can learn to pick ourselves up again.
Yeah.
And that's a prime example.
That's an amazing quote. I love that quote. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. And it's, I'll be honest, I've completely forgotten the question we're on about. We've kind of gone on a tangent.
I don't know, but it's fine.
But yeah, I think more and more people need to realise that people who support them at the beginning didn't have to. Aaron didn't have to say, yeah, sure, no worries.
Yeah.
Terry didn't have to say, yeah, come down. You know, we travelled to Terry's gym. Now, don't get me wrong, I was very much fangirling.
Yeah.
I was literally like, shit, I've watched him on TV for years. And I met him, and he's the nicest man I've ever met.
Really?
He's really nice, Terry is. And so we went down there with this Deadlift bar. We were brand new to this thing. We produced this bar, we knew it was good. And that's not me being cocky. It was literally just what we thought.
Yep.
And we said to him, abuse it. Do what you want. And he pulled something ridiculous during that session. He was on the comeback from retiring.
Oh, yeah.
And he turned around to me and he was like, how much? And I was like, what? And I was standing there and I was like, what? I can't remember what the entire conversation was, but anyway, him and a few of the other guys bought the bar. And I remember I got in the car with my dad and I was just like, what just happened? And he was like, I think we just sold a bar to Terry Hollands. And it was a real surreal feeling. And that was February.
That's crazy.
In mid-February, I think it was. And like, I hope Terry's listening to this, because I do thank him a lot for everything he's done. And even like Lawrence Charlet, Mr. Charlet, reply to your messages, please, sir, if you're listening. But yeah, like, he's given me a huge opportunity. Cannot thank Loz enough. Everyone. Fucking even, not even the big names. Even just the small guy. Oh, yeah. That's really bad. Even like just the people that have no substantial name within an industry who just train.
Yeah.
Who give us a good review, who give a little bit of a share on a photo. Yeah, fuck, yeah. I cannot thank them enough.
It means a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I find that, again, you see all these companies that don't care about that stuff. But every time someone shares a post on Born, I will look at who it was, I will look at what they wrote, and I will thank them for it. Like,
yeah.
I can't...
Yeah, exactly.
I will never, ever... Like, if someone messages me, no matter what it is, I will always reply. Always.
Unless they're spammers. I don't reply to spammers.
Yeah. Spammers.
They're normally from Indonesia as well.
But like, I get people that message me, and they're like, I hope I'm not
selling
disturbing you. Selling everything. And like, I hope I'm not disturbing you, I have this issue. And I'm like, oh, God. Like sometimes I might be really tired or whatever, but I will reply because I remember being in that position.
Yeah.
I remember being in the position where you kind of, like, you're trying so hard and it just doesn't feel like anything's happening. So like I said, every time, like you've just said, every time someone shares something, every time someone leaves a review, like, I've lost it so many times by the fact that I've got 5 5-star reviews on iTunes. Like, there's people that have got thousands and I've got 5, and I lose it every time I think of that. Because that's amazing. There's people that care and it's people that listen, and it's beautiful. It really is beautiful.
110%, mate. 110%. I will try to reply. Well, no, I lie. I reply to all messages. Every single comments, sometimes I forget to. Instagram, I am the worst person. Do not ever contact me on Instagram.
You are pretty bad on Instagram.
Yeah, honestly. Because it gets to the point where I'll share a picture and I might get a couple hundred likes on that picture. And then the comments get lost in those likes.
Yeah.
And I'm literally just like, oh, yeah, I'll sort that out later. And then, but on Facebook, obviously you've got to have my number to have WhatsApp, but you know, like on Facebook and stuff like that, I will always get back to you.
Yes.
It might take me an hour, but I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that really annoys me. What is it with people and not fucking replying to messages?
I know.
Christ almighty, like the amount of people that I've messaged and I've seen that they've seen the message that they forget on Facebook. You see the tick.
Yeah.
You see the flipping tick.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there like, okay, right.
Do you know, it's funny, like, when I was starting Born, there was a lot of people that I contacted about what I was trying to do, hoping that people had a good heart and they would want to get involved. So I'm not going to mention any names because that's, I don't want to do that because it's wrong.
Let's get controversial.
But I remember saying to Kate that I contacted someone with a substantial name in the fitness industry.
What industry?
In the fitness industry. And they messaged me and said that they wouldn't get involved in the charity stuff unless that we paid them this amount of money. And I was like, I'm trying to raise, don't get me wrong, I appreciate that money makes the world go round, unfortunately, but I'm trying to raise awareness of mental health. I know this person has suffered with mental health issues, but they won't help. They won't even say hi. They were really rude about it. And I was like, wow, that sucks. Like, it hurt.
Yeah, there's no gratitude for their support.
No, because why would you... You can help someone. Why don't you want to fucking help someone? It gets to me so much.
Is it our prime example? Obviously, I can't say names now. But, like, I contacted someone of decent stature within the industry. And just for that person to get someone to test the product, he wanted £5,000.
Crazy.
That was after me offering to basically give close to £10,000 worth of products. And yet that person wanted £5,000 for what?
People always want something in return.
And you know, you just look at it and you think, oh my God, I don't understand anyone that isn't... Don't get me wrong, I'm not supportive of every single brand in the world, but I support anyone that is striving. And that person who you're talking about, I don't know who it is, but he sounds like an absolute twat. But that sort of thing shocks me.
It doesn't hurt because I want this person involved. Like, I couldn't care less. Yeah. But the point was, because they'd experienced some of the things, like with anxiety and stuff, I thought they might like to help someone else. And that's the bit that hurt, is because they didn't want to. Like, they don't care enough to help other people. And I feel like that's an industry that's dying. It's just being nice. Why can't people be nice anymore?
Human trait has just fallen. Yeah, it's scary.
I mean, we can get into this really, really deeply. But
what do you think it is? I reckon it's upbringing.
I think upbringing plays a big part in it. Like, if you look at a person, you can kind of... If you look at a person's parents, you can almost tell what the child will be like. Or if you can look at a child, you can almost tell... Obviously not in every single instance, because there's different things, but you can kind of tell what the parents might be like or the upbringing they kind of had. So, I mean, like I said, don't get me wrong, you might look at some people, like you might look at me and think that kid was never like sexually abused or bullied or whatever, because I'll be quite confident. But I think you're right in that upbringing plays a lot of it. I think the people they surround themselves with, and the environment they might be. I think the environment plays a big part in a lot of things. And I'm not talking like the people that are in the environment. I literally mean where they are, because it can play a big, big part in stuff. And I think it's very important. But I'm curious, what do you think about it? Where do you think it comes from?
I have to be very, very careful with this. I think it's upbringing.
Yeah?
I think... Actually, no, I don't have to be careful, because I'm open about it at work. I personally think when I look at some students... And prime example, when they don't say thank you and stuff like that, you look at them and think, what's your parents teaching you?
Yeah.
You know, and I look at it upon that respect of, I do think it is upbringing.
Absolutely.
And I think it's, the saying goes, you're a product of your environment.
Mm-hmm.
And if those people, you know, if, I don't know, Tom Jones, Edward and Robert, we're all in one group.
Yeah.
And none of them say thank you for this or thank you for that. They're all going to come off each other and then it's all going to go down a shitstorm.
Exactly, isn't it? It just gets worse. I feel like with... it, like, my mum always taught me to say please, thank you.
Yeah.
Can I leave the table? Like, all these things. And obviously it's translated through to the rest of my life. But if you aren't taught that... It's weird, isn't it? Because you can't be mad at kids because they haven't been taught it.
Oh, you can be mad
at kids. Yeah, you can. Because if people haven't learned it, then how will they know? But then at the same time, they should know growing up. So it's quite a difficult thing, isn't it? But I do agree, it is upbringing for the most... I think, like, for me, like, probably, like, 95% of it would be upbringing, and then the other bit would just be environment, because...
And sometimes it's just people are just rude.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Sometimes it's just that simple. People are not nice.
How did we get onto the subject? I'm completely lost.
I have no idea, but I love this podcast. It's fantastic. We need to do more in the future. We really do. I want to thank you. I don't want to... Obviously, we've still got to go and train, and that's going to be awesome as well. You guys will see that video.
Sure, we do, don't we? Yeah.
Yeah. But I want to thank you, Ash, for being on the podcast, for one, for supporting me and for supporting Bourne. It really does mean the world to me. I will continue to support AOA because it is something I believe in, but you are something I believe in. I believe in your message, and I can't wait to see the both of us grow and grow together. I'm very excited, but thank you so much so much for being on this podcast. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
One thing I am going to say,
yeah,
and this is a surprise to him as well.
Okay,
he's here. I want to offer him a full sponsorship.
You're
through
kidding,
AOA.
You're having a laugh.
Unfortunately, I can't give him any bars, but you're going to get free clothing for life.
Oh,
any products that you want, because I believe in your channel.
Mate, thank you so much.
That's all right.
Thank you so... I don't even know what to say, honestly.
So, listen to this fucking podcast, because now he's part of AOA. There we go.
Dude. Oh my God. Mate, thank you so much.
Welcome to the team.
Thank you so much. Dude. I can't believe it. I'm shaking. Oh my God.